Good morning, this is Bishop Phoebe Roth of the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee, and welcome to Faithfully Memphis. Every Thursday morning, we broadcast from WYXR 91.7 FM here in Crosstown Concourse. WYXR is a nonprofit community radio station, a collaboration between the Daily Memphian and the University of Memphis. And here on Faithfully Memphis, we have an opportunity to talk with different people, not only based in our community, but indeed throughout the entire country, about the important work that they are doing and the role of faith in their lives. So we always start our show with a saint of the day. And tomorrow, September the 15th, on our liturgical calendar, our church calendar, we recognize the work of Catherine of Genoa, who was known as a mystic and a nurse. She has a pretty amazing life story. She was born in Italy in the year 1447, and she was the youngest of five children. And Catherine really had her heart set on becoming a nun, but when she applied to enter the local convent, they turned her application down. And so her parents decided that at the age of 16, they were going to marry Catherine off to a gentleman because there was an ongoing feud between the two families. And they thought if she married the son of this family, that would help end the feud and bring the families together. Well, it isn't surprising that that's not quite how things worked out. The couple really did not get along. And because of all of the discord in the marriage, Catherine's husband ended up losing most of their financial resources through reckless spending. And Catherine herself spent the first 10 years of her marriage in a deep depression, actually praying to God to make her sick so that she would just be able to stay in bed and kind of withdraw from the world. Well, the whole trajectory of her life changed in 1473. Catherine was in church making her confession to her local priest. And in the middle of her confession, she was suddenly struck with an overpowering sense of the amazing love of God. And that experience that God loved her, even in the midst of deep depression and sadness and an unfulfilled marriage, kind of jump-started her life. And she began praying more and decided to dedicate herself to service to others. And she chose caring for the sick in a local hospital. And that's what she totally dedicated her life to. Increasingly, her husband started joining her. And it was through volunteering and working together to help those who were suffering that their marriage was reconciled. And so they eventually moved to a large hospital in Genoa, and both of them, full-time, were serving the sick. And Catherine also began writing books about her understanding of God. And those books are still available to bless others along their journey when they have periods of profound sadness or depression or not being fulfilled, to help remind them that God truly loves all of us. Catherine died on September the 15th in the year 1510 while she was tending the sick, and she was buried at the local hospital chapel. So we remember Catherine today not as a person who had an easy life or an easy journey, but someone who, after years of struggling to find a purpose, to find meaning, to even find joy and happiness, ultimately did. That God came to her in the lowest moment of her life in a profound experience. And out of that encounter with God, it was her service to others that really turned her life around and brought joy and meaning and fulfillment. So I dare say that even though this woman lived 500 years ago, there are lessons from her story that speak to us still today.
Did you know you could donate your vehicle and support WYXR at the same time? We offer free pickup and it's tax deductible. Go to cars.wyxr.org to donate your car today.
So this morning, we are joined in the studio by two guests who are with us from a local Memphis organization called the Lisieux Community. And the purpose of Lisieux is to support and provide education for women who have survived trauma, addiction, prostitution, and life on the streets. And they opened a drop-in center in February of 2021. And so we're going to learn a lot about this ministry and the work of the drop-in center. And so we have with us Jordan Boss, the executive director, and Leslie Stewart, the board chair. So Jordan and Leslie, welcome to Faithfully Memphis.
Thank you. Good morning.
So we normally start the show off by asking our guest if they would be willing to share a little bit about the role of faith in your lives, both when you were growing up and now. So either one of you, if you feel comfortable sharing.
Hey, this is Leslie Stewart.
I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home with amazing parents who modeled Jesus' love for me. Sorry.
Yeah.
But my local church, I've lived in Memphis my whole life. My local church was actually right in the heart of the neighborhood that Lisieux serves.
Oh, wow.
So we were at Summer and Faxon.
Mm-hmm.
And my local church really instilled in us the importance of being a part of the neighborhood, not apart from the neighborhood, which was very common in Christianity at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just grew up with that, knowing that Jesus's love is for everyone and that they're not going to hear about it unless we tell them about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's important to reach out to the people around us that aren't like us, that don't look like us, that don't have the same life that we have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that when I know that church closed, it was small. But during COVID, the Daily Memphian actually wrote an article about Lisieux,
yeah,
and about the house being opened up. And I read it and I just thought, that is what Jesus's love looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Wrapping arms around people and just being present. And so that's why I was drawn to reach out to them and get involved with Lisieux in the first place, was just the deep connection to the neighborhood. But also just for me, it really resonates what God's love is.
Wow. Thanks.
Hey, this is Jordan Boss.
Well, I grew up in a small town in Parsons, Kansas. I was surrounded by wonderful grandparents and parents who brought me up in the Methodist church.
Mm-hmm.
We were raised as small children, my brother and I, to help others and to understand that that's part of our duty. And as we grew up, both of us have gone into fields where we help others.
Mm-hmm.
Coming right out of college, I went right into nonprofit work because I believed that everybody deserves to be loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the women that we see at Lisieux Community don't get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what drew me to Lisieux was knowing that there's a community of women here in Memphis and everywhere,
mm-hmm,
that no one will look at.
Yeah.
That don't feel that they deserve love, mm-hmm, that others can give them. And one of the things that really drew me there was that I believed when I looked these women in the eyes, that they were seeking the love that we could give them.
Mm-hmm.
And all we had to do was hope that they would be receptive to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do every single day when the doors open at Lasoo Community. We open the doors hoping that the women will be ready to receive the love that we're there to give them.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we started our broadcast with the Saint of the Day that we do every Thursday. And in a couple of weeks, on October the 1st, it's actually the feast day of Saint Teresa of Lisieux. And I want to share with our listening audience a little bit about her life. She felt called to the religious life from a very early age and became a nun when she was 17 years old and basically lived a very quiet and simple life that was devoted primarily to prayer. She was very sick, physically sick, throughout her life. And in fact, she died in the year 1897 at the age of 24. Mm-hmm. But 2 years before that, when she was 22, she wrote her memoirs. And through this book, she basically kind of described what a life of faith looked like for her. And kind of similar to the saint that we heard about earlier, she felt really abandoned by God at parts of her life. But even in that moment, she did not give up her faith. And she actually said, when I feel separated from God, that's something that I have in common or in solidarity with others who may also be feeling the same way. And so I wonder, for either of you all, do you know why the organization has the name the Lasoo Community?
Yes,
absolutely. Sure. Our founder, Sandra Farrell, was a student, if you will, of St. Therese.
Oh, okay.
She followed and read and studied and truly believed in her heart that there was a connection there. And so one of the things that really spoke to her was the fact that we could all do little things.
Yes.
And that if we all together did little things, that it could make a big difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when she began Lasoo Community 10 years ago, she wanted to honor her memory by naming it in her honor.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I just love that part of St. Teresa's story, just the little way, you know.
Yes.
I think that resonates with all of us, that we're not all going to found big companies and make lots of money, but the little things really do add up and matter, you know.
So when I came to the diocese in 2019, Sandra invited me to join her, I believe at that time on Thursday evenings. There was a ministry of actually going
into
to
the
where
streets.
The women are with a hot meal, with different products that they might need, such as sanitary products, and basically to just remind them that they are loved and cared for. And so can you all share a little bit about the demographic of the women that you all work with, and to the extent that you've heard from their stories over the years, how does a woman end up on the streets of any city?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Well, the stories are, I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, that I could end up on the street, you could end up on the street, we could all end up on the street. So the stories that we hear on any given day, they come from every direction. There's every possible thing that could happen to the women that we see and how their journeys have brought them to the door of Lasoo Community. Mm-hmm. The demographic, the women that we see currently really range in age, youngest in their 20s to on up to 70.
Wow.
I've been surprised because I thought we would see younger folks. But really, the more that we've gotten to know the community that we're serving now, many of the women that we're seeing are middle-aged women. Some do come in with children. We occasionally have young women come in with babies. Occasionally women with toddlers. Sometimes we see generations of women. So we have a group of clients that is a grandmother, a mother, and three daughters that come into the center. So we're seeing that generational group of women come in. But to nail down a specific, it's so difficult. We see women that have come to us because they have had major trauma. All of our women have suffered trauma, whether before they came to us, while they were on the streets. I mean, absolutely, once you're on the street, there's going to be trauma involved in that. But some have come because of health issues, some because of mental health issues, some there's substance use disorder. Some just, they're born into poverty and they know nothing different than the street and Summer Avenue. So the women that come to us come for so many different reasons. And many of them, I mean, many of the women that we see are unhoused. Some, however, do have housing. Some are marginally housed. Some are marginally housed, but their money goes into that housing. So the things that they need, like food and toiletries, snacks, essentials, they don't have money left for that. So they still need the services to be able to supplement the fact that they've been able to house themselves. The stories that we hear every single day are heartbreaking, but they're also hopeful. We find success when we see women who are willing to walk through the door. I mean, can you imagine being on the street of Summer and hearing that there's this place that you can go where people just love you and there's no expectation? There's nothing that we're going to ask of them. We don't ask questions. We just want them to come in and we ask them, what can we help you with? What do you need? And to be on the street and hear that and think, oh, no way.
There's almost sounds too good to be true.
And even when, you know, they first walk in the door, you can tell they're looking around like, okay, what's the catch? What do we have to do? But we find success when a new woman walks through that door, because we know that there's a step there she's willing to maybe trust, even for a minute. And then over time, we can create a relationship. But the stories are all over the place. But they're amazing. The women that we see, we love them. They are our friends. They become our family. And hopefully, we become theirs.
I just wanted to add the story that Jordan just shared with me of one of our newest clients that has known we have been here this whole time on Summer for 3 years. Essentially, she's known of us, and we do go out into the streets, and we do know, we think, where most of the women are, where they tend to hang out. We minister to them on the streets. As we hadn't seen her, you know, but she just this week walked in the door and was like, I've been here.
Wow.
And I've known about you, but she wasn't ready. She didn't want to be found. She didn't trust us like that, you know. And so it is, I think, a lot about that power of belief. She finally had that little kernel of belief that maybe there is something good here, you know.
So can you give us a sense of the range of services that you provide? So if I were a woman and I walked through the doors of your drop-in center, what would be available for me?
Absolutely. So first of all, let me just say, if you walk through the door, we're not going to ask you any questions.
Okay.
You literally could come walk in the door. The only thing I'm going to ask you is, what's your name? You don't have to give me your real name. You can make one up. I just want to be able to respectfully call you something. So when you walk through the door, every day looks different. And I could tell you what a Monday looks like, and I can promise you next Monday it's probably going to look different. So we're open Monday through Thursday. Monday from 12 to 4, we're open to the public, so any woman can come to the drop-in center to receive services. And I want to just say, first and foremost, that I know a lot of our volunteers are probably listening, and I just want to say a thank you to them, because without them, everything you're about to hear about would not happen. We are powered by our volunteers, goodness me, and we are so thankful them. But on a Monday from 12 to 4, women can come in, they can receive a hot meal, they can take a shower, they can have their laundry washed and dried for them. We provide them with essentials like toiletries, snacks, toilet paper, bottled water, just essentials that they need. Mm-hmm. Once a month, they can receive a pair of tennis shoes during the winter months, a blanket, a sleeping bag, a coat, mittens, a hat. Mm-hmm. But really what we're providing even beyond that on a Monday is a safe place for them to congregate in community.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to have a space where they can come to if they are so inclined to do so, to take a nap, to rest, to do arts and crafts, to just take their mind off of their situation in their life and enjoy the space that they have with each other, and to hopefully bond with the volunteers and with the staff in a way that makes them want to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday and Wednesday, we're open from 8:30 to 5 for drop-in. And that means that women can drop in at any time on those days. They can use the restroom, charge their phone. They can take a nap. They can check to see if they have mail. This is very important. For many of the women, they don't have an address. They don't have a phone number. So when they're ready to get an ID or a Social Security card or food stamps or obtain health care or mental health care, they don't have any way to put down on those forms where they live or how to reach them.
Got it.
So they can use our address and our phone number so that they receive those messages.
Mm-hmm.
So on those days, they drop in. And of course, if they're hungry, we're going to feed them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anybody walks in, they're going to get fed at LSU Community.
Jordan loves to feed them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But also on those days, if they are ready to get an ID or a Social Security card or food stamps, Whitney Fullerton, who's our program director, helps them to do that. She will also connect them to Church Health, who's a wonderful partner who provides healthcare for the women that we serve, to Alliance Healthcare, who brings their mobile ACT team, their mobile mental health unit, out to LSU to actually serve the women. So she will connect them to those resources. And if necessary, even transport them to those appointments.
Mm-hmm.
But really on Tuesday and Wednesday, what we are doing is we're providing that bridge between us and the community resources that are out there for the women. And then on Thursday's my favorite day.
Okay.
Thursday from 10:30 to 11:30, Hope House comes in and they provide art therapy for the women. We then sit down and have a family meal together. And then the women may hang out throughout the afternoon, take a nap, watch a movie if they want to, play games, whatever it is they choose to do together. Mm-hmm. And then from 4 to 6:30, Whitney will load the van, and she and volunteers go out, much like you said.
Okay.
Go back to the streets where we started.
Got it.
And provide essentials to women along Summer Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. It's a really special place.
Yeah. So what is the role of the board in supporting this ministry?
We are fundraisers. And just, you know, being governance and just good general oversight, helping to, you know, run the legal side of the business, the nonprofit, I should say.
So I would imagine that donations of money and the things that you all need to distribute is a really important part of this ministry.
Yes, we have been working really hard to just get a firm financial foundation underneath us, which is no small task.
Right.
Particularly post-COVID, there's just a lot of need and not a lot of dough, you know. But yeah, so we're very thankful. We have a lot of people who are eager to step in and fill the physical needs, like when we need peanut butter crackers or fruit cups. A lot of people are quick to shop our Amazon list, and that's a huge blessing for us for sure.
Yeah. So do you have any volunteers who've been involved since the ministry began 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, we do. And I don't want to start naming names because I forget somebody.
Exactly.
But we do have folks. One of our volunteers who's with us every Monday, she actually, not quite at the very beginning, but I mean, not far out of the gate, she can tell stories of when she volunteered in the residential program back in the beginning of when LSU had its first, had its house. So we do have volunteers who've been with us along the way. We've been very lucky that they have gone out and told others who have told others who have told others. And when we ask volunteers, when they reach out and say, you know, we want to come help, we're like, how have you heard about us? And usually it's somebody who maybe even 10 years ago told them what we were doing and they come to us. So we're so thankful. We are a mighty staff of two, serving last month 100 unduplicated women, providing about 300 services. So if we did not have the volunteers, we would not be here talking to you.
Right. So how do you think volunteers keep their spirits up and not get discouraged when you really see so much suffering as you are interacting with your constituency?
I think it's a struggle, right?
Yeah.
I think for our volunteers, knowing the women, and it truly is a community. And so it's really amazing to hear the stories that come out of the drop-in center where a volunteer or Jordan could be having a tough time. And one of our clients is quick to show love, to be kind, and to really like build them back up, you know? But it can be really disheartening. I think for all of us, volunteers, board, staff, to see the injustice, you know, in the world, in our city, and to really feel like a lot of times the deck is just completely stacked against our women. So it is, it's a battle. And I think we all struggle with anger, bitterness, you know, but it's the really, it's the relationships and the love that pull you back in, you know, and just that it is for me, it's the belief, the kernels of hope that we plant, you know, it's just, you come back to that, those, that's what keeps you going is belief. It will be better. It can be better, is better.
So in addition to the direct services, sort of following up, Leslie, on what you just said about being aware of the injustices, is the Lisieux community also involved in the larger conversation about sort of structural issues here in Shelby County, gaps in the system that may be contributing to having women on the streets?
We would love to be more involved in that conversation. We truly believe that Lisieux is reaching a population of women that others are not.
Yes.
There is a population of homeless here in Memphis that many don't see. You know, we truly believe in women and men that are unhoused receiving housing and having supportive services around that. There's also always going to be a population of unhoused people that are never going to be ready for housing.
Right.
And we just want to make sure that there are programs like Lisieux Community available to tend to their needs. Because there will always be, no matter how big our support system gets, there are always going to be people on the streets. And we want to make sure that they're cared for as well. And so with Lisieux, we feel like we're filling that niche, if you will. We're providing for the women who are on the streets now who may never get to housing.
Right.
Of course, we want them to. But we have to be realistic and know that there are always going to be those folks that are on the street, and they deserve love and care as well.
Right.
So we hope to be part of a larger conversation because we believe that the model that we've created can be replicated in neighborhoods around Memphis and in other cities.
So I wonder, are there any upcoming activities or events that would be open to the larger community? If someone is learning about this ministry for the first time, what are some of the ways that they could get connected and could get involved?
Well, we would love, we always, as I said, I can't say it enough, we need volunteers.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in volunteering, please go to our website. Which is lisieuxcommunity.org, and hopefully we'll spell that in here somewhere. But go to our website. There's a tab there that is volunteer. You can read about what that looks like and fill out an application, and you can see the schedule to come volunteer. Other ways to get involved. So we're coming upon, amazingly, I can't believe it's September already.
Yeah.
But we're coming upon the holiday Christmas season, and one of the things we love to do is provide for our women for the holidays a special something.
Okay.
This year we're doing a drive for new backpacks. So
new backpacks.
Once a month, they're able to get a backpack, which many of our women carry all of their belongings with them. So it's a very important thing for them. Mm-hmm. But we give them used backpacks or whatever's been donated. For Christmas, we want to be able to give them a brand new backpack.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'll be collecting new backpacks and new blankets. We're going into, again, cold season, mm-hmm. and we want every woman to be able to have a new blanket as part of their holiday gift.
Okay.
So that's an easy way to get involved. Mm-hmm. Always we need items for our care bags, which you can find a list on our website, but peanut butter crackers, toilet paper, toiletries, small travel size, soap, conditioner, shampoos, toothbrush, toothpaste, just things that you would need from day to day. Those are things that we really rely on the community to provide for us. Mm-hmm. And then one of our biggest needs, all of the meals that we provide all week long are provided by volunteers who cook those meals off site and bring them to us.
Okay.
And we serve. So every Monday, we're looking for a volunteer, either a person, a group, a corporation, whatever it may look like, to either cook a meal and bring it, or you can even buy one from Central Barbecue or for wherever that may be and bring it to the center and we serve it to the women. Mm-hmm. So we are looking for folks to sign up for those Mondays to help us provide meals for the women.
Yeah. Got it.
It's a great one if you love to cook. So that's a great outlet.
Yes. And are there any, Leslie, any other sorts of ways that you think that people could get plugged in?
Oh, yeah. Like just following us on social media, reading our stories, and just helping us to kind of spread the word, reposting, liking, like that kind of stuff is just seems very small, but to us it's actually really big.
Yeah.
And it pays off in big ways for us. So that's a big one, too.
Yeah. So, Jordan, you mentioned at one point Lassoo Community had a house, and then now you don't have the house, but you've got sort of the drop-in center. Yeah. So I wonder, sort of moving forward for either of you as the executive director or the board chair, what's sort of the next big thing? Like if you could have anything in the next phase of development of this organization, what would be a big goal or a big dream that you would love to be able to accomplish?
Well, our immediate need is to sustain what we have.
Okay.
So being very honest, and we have said this in social media and through our newsletter, but we are in deep need of funding right now to be able to move forward. Mm-hmm. So where we stand right now is we have funding through the end of this calendar year, but we're in desperate need of funding to move us past that.
Got
so
it.
That's our immediate need. Mm-hmm. If you were to say, what is the, if you gave us all the funding in the world, if it just came to us, what would it look like? We would love, like I said, to replicate this model in other neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We have two just right out of the gate that we feel like we could move
benefit.
Into.
Yes.
Absolutely. But that's small. I mean, Memphis has many, many neighborhoods that not only drop-in centers for women, that's our focus, but drop-in centers for men as well. Mm-hmm. There's just such a great need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we would also like eventually love to have a role in the emergency housing, like emergent housing, because that's a serious gap in Memphis particularly. There's just when we have women that need help, there's just nowhere to send them for a night or whatever. Yeah.
So, again, their website is it lassoocommunity.org, and it's LISIEUX.
That's right.
Community.org. If you go to the website, there will be information about ways that you can either volunteer or provide items for their Amazon list in terms of the sorts of things that they need. And I know that for a lot of people around the holiday season, they are looking for ways that they can get involved either around Thanksgiving or Christmas. So maybe for some of our listeners, if you're still looking for a special way that you can be of assistance to others, this might be a great opportunity.
Yeah, a lot of groups like to come and pack the bags together. Like, that's a great service. Activity.
And do you actually have the space there? So if the group came, you all can have the space for people to pack bags.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Great, great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so, you know, youth groups or church mm-hmm. groups or really any sort of group
right.
might Families. Be able to do mm-hmm. this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, I just wonder as we're beginning to conclude the interview, for each of you all to kind of share something that you've learned through your time working with these women.
I'll go first. I've really learned the power of little acts of mm-hmm. kindness. And it's really phenomenal how very little kindness it takes to be impactful for some of our women, because they receive so little
yeah.
notice. It seems small and almost stuff we don't think about, but just truly smiling, being present,
mm-hmm.
touching an arm, just listening, literally just sitting and listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's the little things that make such a tremendous impact, a tremendous change in a way a woman feels about themselves. And I've recognized that in myself. Like, aren't we all the same? It takes very little for you to feel loved. You mm-hmm. know, you don't need diamonds and furs
yeah.
to feel loved. But if your husband's going to sit there and listen to you, then you feel safe. And mm-hmm. that's something I've really learned with our women.
Yeah.
I think I've really learned the true power of community.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh darn it, it's pretty amazing when a group of women come together.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so cool to look up and realize that Lisieux community and the women of Lisieux are not just the women who walk through the doors,
mm-hmm.
but they are the volunteers, they're the board, they're the staff, they're all of us together. And the power of what it's like when we're all in that room together and how our journeys connect.
Mm-hmm.
That there is no difference between any of us in that room other than circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And that some of us had more privilege than others, but that we all can offer love to each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's the coolest part. And Leslie touched on it, but it's the truth. It's when any one of us, a volunteer, a staff member, a client, when any of us is having a bad day, one or the other is going to swoop in to try and help make that person feel better. And mm-hmm. more times than not, it's the women mm-hmm. who are helping us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we ostensibly go in to serve others. Right. But I think in my experience over the years, inevitably, I'm the one who ends up learning and being served.
Absolutely.
Even though I may not have even expected it going in.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for being present on Faithfully Memphis and for this important ministry, and many blessings as your work continues.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
WYXR thanks our sponsor, Mempho Presents, hosting Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit with Lonnie Holly at Radiance Amphitheater on September 16th. More information at memphopresents.com.
Welcome back to Faithfully Memphis. Thank you so much to our listening audience for being with us today. Just a reminder that you can hear Faithfully Memphis anywhere you get your podcast, including Apple Music and Spotify. And so we encourage you not only to listen, but to like us. And if the show has been inspiring to you, to share the link and encourage others to listen as well. We do have an upcoming event next month that we wanted to make you aware of. There is an organization called Hannah's Hope, which works with families looking to adopt children. We know that there are individuals who have issues with infertility, and all families who would like to have a biological child are not always able to do so. And so if you are a couple or an individual looking to adopt, Hannah's Hope is very open to supporting families and individuals from all backgrounds and all walks of life who are interested in adoption. And on Saturday morning, October the 28th, at Grace St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Memphis. It's located on Peabody Avenue. There will be an information session from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. where you can learn about the ways in which Hannah's Hope can support you if you're interested in adoption, and also if you might be interested in supporting their ministry and working with them as they serve families going through the adoption process. You can learn about that as well. So until next week, friends, stay safe and stay positive.